From 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it will be the same passage as last week. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll be reading from the NLT version. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. This morning, we're delighted to have Pastor Jonathan preach on part two, Mourn for Those Who Mourn, Rejoice with Those Who Rejoice.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Hello. Cool. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Caleb, for reading that. And good to see everyone this morning again. Welcome to part two of this message, Mourn with Those Who Mourn, Rejoice with Those Who Rejoice. Let me just put some of the stuff away. So, last week we looked at this passage of Scripture that Caleb just read out, and about the body of Christ. And the key takeaway for us was this idea of belonging. If you turn your mind back to last week, there were two parts to this, right? One, this idea that even if you don't want to belong to the body, the Bible says you belong, right? And we saw this in the first half of the passage, right? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And two, we saw how even if you don't want someone else to belong, the Bible says they belong. And we see that in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And so we saw that belonging to the body is part and parcel of being a Christian. And the thing that tied it all together was this verse in verse 18. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And with that, I left you with two questions. One, what does belonging to a community look like? And two, why are you here in this particular local church called CACC? So this morning, I want to give to you a picture of what God has placed on my heart for what this might look like for us. My hope is that by painting a picture for you this morning, it will get you to think about why you are here in this particular local church and how you being here can help you grow as a disciple as well as helping those around you to grow as disciples. So let me start with a question. What is the point of church? All right, so I want you to think about this for a moment and then tell the person next to you just a few words what you think about this. What is the purpose of doing this thing we call church? Right, why do we find all these times together? Go. See, it's an interesting question, right? Especially if you've grown up in church and you've done this your whole life, every Sunday. Sometimes we don't stop to think, why do we come to church? Right? So I'm going to say that the point of doing church, and by that I mean gathering together with other Christians, is to help us grow. To help us grow as disciples, and to help us grow as human beings created by God. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Church, gives five purposes for the church. Right, one, to worship God. I saw some people point fingers up, so it's great. Two, to minister to people, and that means to provide care and support for each other. Three, to fellowship with one another. Four, to teach and be taught. And five, to evangelize. And just as an aside, all of these things he backs up with scripture. So if you're interested in that, you can ask me afterwards. They're not just ideas, right? They're biblically based ideas. But these things, right? If this is the purpose of church, then I want to claim that all of these things are things that help us grow. So for example, worship, right? How does worship help us grow? Worship helps us grow because it teaches our hearts, right? Not our heads, but our hearts, who God is, right? Yes, we sing songs when we gather, but why do we do it? Because the songs turn our attention to God. I heard a really helpful definition for worship recently. And it was boasting about God, right? Worship is boasting about God. And I think that's a really helpful way to think about it. When we sing songs with words like we did just now, right? Let your name be lifted up and glorified. Right? What is that declaring about God? That we're saying that he's worthy. That we're saying that he's done great things. And that the more we understand how unimaginably vast the universe is, and how small and unremarkable human beings are on this tiny blue planet floating in space. Right? That the God who created all of this would look on you and say to you, even so, you are significant. You are important. In fact, you're so important to me that I, the Lord of the universe, would die for you so that you can live the life that I planned for you. I don't know if that stirred anything in your heart just now. But see, that is the source, right, of a heart of worship. And it's being filled with that sense of awe and wonder of God that you can't help but express back out to God, whatever that, like through whatever means you can. And when you do that, right, you grow in your love for God, your knowledge, your heart knowledge of God, right? That's it's not quite as tangible as head knowledge, right? It's a change of heart. And so that grows us as disciples because it makes us day by day more and more aligned with God. And so other things like teaching. Teaching grows us as disciples. That one's pretty straightforward, right? Because it builds our minds. It builds our understanding of God. Evangelism grows us as disciples because when you put yourself out there, you get to experience firsthand God's power for yourself. But this morning, I want to focus on these two, ministering to each other and fellowship. So first off, I want to acknowledge a few blessings that I think God has given us. One blessing that God has given my generation in this church, at least, is that for the most part, we all get along relatively well. Right? We might not all be close friends, and yeah, we have our own circles. But if we had to organize a big road trip with everyone, I think generally most people would go if they could. And we've done that many times in the past, and we've been able to enjoy spending that time as brothers and sisters together. Another blessing we have is that for the most part, we're willing to be honest and vulnerable. That we're willing to admit when we have done something wrong and to go to our brothers and sisters proactively to confess and to seek reconciliation. And a third blessing that I felt on Friday, and this was a great encouragement for me, was seeing the same kind of relationships develop in our youth. Now, on Friday, we had such an interesting time when we had a friend from Agape Church, actually, join us from Friday night. In fact, they had just come to New Zealand from China 1 week ago. And so we had this really amazing time of trilingual fellowship. And you know what? We got along fine, which to me is amazing because, like, to see the boldness to not be held back by the kind of awkwardness that might exist when we can't communicate as clearly as we want, to put yourself out there and to not worry about making mistakes with language, to do what you can to make that time work. Like, that is such a great encouragement for me and a blessing to see. And so with what I'm about to share, it's not to say that we're lacking in this area. Yet, the picture on my heart of what church could look like is to take that even further than what we can see. And so here it is. In verse 26, the Bible says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And this same idea is also present in Romans. Romans 12, verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. The kind of empathy and sense of journeying together that these verses describe is profound. We've done so great on the relationship building side of things. But we must remember that fellowshipping is not just socializing. In order for fellowship to grow us as disciples, we need to be intentional with challenging each other to grow. So, we're learning biblical truths, yes, but we can't just be learning biblical truths. Right? We're building relationships with each other, yes, but it's not just building relationships. And we're having a good time. Like, we need to be having a good time with things. But it's not just about having a good time. And so, look around the room. Right? Look around the room. 1 Corinthians seems to be telling us that every person in this room is here because you belong here. And that God has brought you here to have fellowship with these people for a reason. And just as an aside, what do I mean by fellowship? Well, here's some examples from the Bible. Hebrews, right, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Or in 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another and build each other up. Right. We've done so well with the relationship building part, but if we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn, then it is time for us to kick it up a notch and to take it to the next level. I've seen churches where people are vulnerable enough to turn to the person sitting next to them, someone they might not necessarily know, but to share with them what's going on in their life and to ask for prayer. I've seen churches where people are comfortable to go up to someone after service because they feel prompted by the Spirit to talk to them because they have a word for them. I've seen it when someone needed encouragement and for them to receive that from someone. And for them to receive that, to know that God sees and hears them, is such a blessing for them. I've also seen when it's a challenge, right? When God sends someone to call someone out about maybe a secret sin in their life or something that he wants them to change. Right? But that kind of intimacy, spiritual intimacy, isn't that what church is about? That we're spurred on and encouraged in faith. So often I feel that we're so timid about our faith. And I know because I've been there, right? It feels awkward sometimes to bring up a spiritual conversation. To ask, hey, how are you doing spiritually? That's hard to ask sometimes. It feels safer to stick to just casual conversation, to chit-chat and small talk. Maybe I don't want to stand out and be that person, like a tall poppy. But sometimes in order for us to grow, we just have to take that leap. And so that kind of picture of church, is that something you want to see? If it is, I've got three suggestions for you this morning. One, initiate conversation and listen. You know, if we are to be a church that rejoices with those who rejoice and mourns with those who mourn, then we need to know what is going on in our body. Right? By all means, start with a casual conversation to break the ice, but don't let the conversation stop there. Be curious to really get to know the person you're talking to, right? And to ask yourself, why might have God brought us together in this place? You know, just as an example, with this new influx of families from Hong Kong, I find myself asking this question a lot. Why is God bringing them to CACC? Why am I here? What purpose does God have for me to be in this place that is receiving these new families? Now, I've discovered how important listening is. Because I grew up here, see, my perspective of going to a new country, right, is I want to go to a new country, right? So when it's about learning the local language, for example, I want to do that. Right? When it's about learning the culture, I want to do that, right? It's because I want to be there. I want to move to another country. But when I listen to the stories, I hear a new perspective. Right? Have you ever considered that some of these families don't actually want to be here? They never wanted to leave Hong Kong in the first place, but they had to. And so being here, they feel like they're in exile almost. Right? And so they have trouble adapting. And maybe they have trouble adapting to our slower Kiwi way of life. Right? Maybe they find it hard that you can't get to where you want to go without a car. Have you considered what it's like to lose your friends and family and not be able to visit them anymore? Right? For me, these are some things that I'd never considered before because my perspective of life, I guess, my perspective of how we choose to live is different. And I wouldn't have found these things out if I didn't have conversations and I didn't listen. So if these are what people are experiencing, can we empathize with these feelings? We need to know what is going on in order to care. And that means real conversations, maybe hard conversations. Conversations that are open and honest. We have to be bold with our questions and courageous with our answers. Second thing that you can try to do is this: break through non-kingdom culture. And now this is a huge topic in its own right, and I don't know if those words mean things to you right now. So let me summarize it like this, right? There are cultural behaviors that each of us take for granted. But when we hold these things up against the Bible and really interrogate them, we find out maybe they don't quite line up with how God thinks His church should act. So let me give you some examples. What we just talked about, bold questions and answers. As in, tell me about your spiritual life. You know what one of the biggest barriers to answering that question is? It's this pesky thing that we Chinese people call faith. Right? Because if you're a leader, or you've been in church a long time, or you've grown up in church, for you to say, hey, actually, I'm not doing so well. No, I know God is there, but I just don't have time for Him right now. That can be a really hard thing to admit to someone else. And yet there's something about being honest and vulnerable, right, that leads to change. And so non-kingdom culture is things that we take for granted that don't line up with the Bible. From the other perspective, right, this an example of Western culture that has pervaded the church could be our individualism, right? So this idea that our personal feelings and situation are what's most important. And you can see this, for example, in the attitude that we have towards services and gatherings, right? I'm not feeling so well this week, so I'll take this week off. I'm feeling tired, so I'm going to skip this gathering. Now, I understand why that might happen sometimes, and it's not always wrong. But it gives us reason to reflect on our values and how we see things like responsibility and commitment and community, and whether or not these are things that line up with what the Bible teaches about those values. Right? For example, is there a place for sacrifice for the sake of the community? You know, that kind of thing can feel quite to some of us. But is it true that my personal well-being trumps everything else? Or does the Bible give some guidance for how we might think about that? My point is that church culture needs to be intentionally different from the world. We are meant to be a city on a hill, right? The salt of the earth, a light to the world. And so if we are to set an example, then we need to be constantly interrogating ourselves. What kind of culture are we creating in our church? And is it one that lets people rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn? And finally, take responsibility for change. Culture perpetuates unless we make a conscious decision to change things. So I want to encourage you to think about it this way. How do you want future generations to see church? How do you want future generations to see church? That generation has already started, by the way. And sorry I didn't ask you guys this beforehand, but Eliana has been with us for almost 6 months. Right? Half a year. What kind of church do you want her generation to grow up in and see? Is it a church that is timid and awkward with faith? Or is it a church that is vibrant with meaningful relationships, kingdom culture, Spirit-filled ministry? So this is the picture that God has placed on my heart for what CACC can look like. And I find it interesting that today just happens to be the 17th anniversary of this English service. And there's something about anniversaries that help mark the start of something new, maybe. And we also have our AGM coming up in a month. And I'm really excited this year because we have some new people who have accepted nominations to be XCOM and elders. And how might their new input, right, steer the direction of this church? If anything I shared with you this morning resonates with you, then there are two things I want to encourage you with. One, if you have a nomination and you're still deciding, pray about it and seek the Spirit's guidance over it. Because if you long to see this church thrive, then maybe this is your calling for this season. And I, for one, want to see what God can do through you. And the second thing, and this is for everyone, if you want to be part of this kind of body, right, one that edifies, one that builds up and encourages and spurs on meaningful spiritual growth, then I want to encourage you to take a step this week. I challenge you to initiate a conversation this week about your faith, about your spiritual life with someone, with anyone. It doesn't matter. But to be intentional to talk about faith and your spiritual life. No matter how you feel about it, as a Christian, you belong to the body. And right now, you belong to this local church called CACC. So take responsibility for that. May God let this community thrive and be a place that builds up and equips his disciples for his kingdom. Amen.